Let's look at a farmer and a dairyman. When a farmer grows, say, trip for silage, how is the farmer paid? Well, they're paid tonnage, and sometimes they're paid a protein basis, right? I mean, there's sometimes incentives. But fundamentally, how does the dairy pay the farmer? On what basis do they pay? The dairy pays on a dry matter basis. The farmer sells on an as-fed basis. So the two communities look at this totally different, right?
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/ag. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. I am Carlos Campabadal from Kansas State University, dedicated to bring you the latest insights and discussions from the feed science industry. So please get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. So today, with great pleasure, we have our guest today, Mr. Jared Frochner. And sorry if I mispronounced that. I think I probably got it a little bit there close, but it's great to have you here, Jared, and for today's podcast. So just to hit it off a little bit, if you don't mind just kind of telling us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll hit it off.
Well, thanks, Carlos. And I really enjoyed our pre-recording conversation. I'm a consultant with White River Ag Consulting, and my practice is split. It's three ways. I do agronomic consulting. I do some quality regulatory work, and then I do process consulting. And so it's owned by my family, by my wife, myself, my wife, my son, and my daughter. So we're very... you want to take care of your family first, right?
Absolutely.
And then my son, he's beginning to, I'm giving him a little regulatory work. He's doing, he's finishing up his degree at Purdue. And so we're easing him in on some of these easier projects so that he gets a little bit of familiarity with our friends at FDA and OSHA.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to see a future Boilermaker alumni like myself. I know you said that he's coming to graduate and fairly soon. So good to get all the family involved. And a little bit of similar to me, I kind of was also introduced to the animal production feed through a family consultant in production. So I could relate to all that. So Jared, thank you for that introduction. And I think the audience, and as you know, is both domestic and international. So why don't we let's start talking a little bit more in detail on what you knew. Let's hit it off first with the agronomic side. Tell us a little bit about the research, what you see is coming out, tendencies, and how everything fits with the other two areas that you work.
So I appreciate our pre-call conversation on this. So I do, with a third of my business, I do a tremendous amount of research on the agronomic side. Right now, the primary crops that I'm working with is wheat, triticale. We did a little rye work. That work, we've got three big studies this year. We have an abstract that I'll be presenting up at the dairy science meetings here in June. And we're following up right now with a dose response trial, okay? Kind of a mixed model setup, Carlos. We're going to be submitting that data for the client as a publication We don't know whether we're going to Agronomy Journal or Journal of Dairy Science.
Okay.
Maybe we might be able to get two publications out of it, but you know, we need to follow the rules on that. Okay. The second deal, which is a little bit of a different deal, we've done extensive cotton work.
Okay. I was going to ask you about cotton because I saw it in your Lincoln pictures, so I figured that has to be some relationship on that.
I've learned a lot about that plant. It's a unique plant. It looks to die right after it emerges. If you can get it to live, then it's an interesting plant to watch to grow. It reminds me a lot of soybeans.
Oh, okay.
In some weird sort of way. I understand a soybean is not a tree. I get that. But right now, we had an article at the Beltwide Conference this last year, and we'll have three more papers that'll go to the Beltwide this year, and then we'll be submitting the research into a combined article through Cotton Science.
Oh, okay.
So what we do within the practice is, especially on the research side, is that we have a little bit of a niche that has developed over time, Carlos. What White River Ag does is we can take products, nascent products, new products, and with the research on both the feed and the agronomic side, we can go either way. We can actually take a product and develop a scientific marketing campaign around it. Okay?
Okay.
Because as you know, within our field, the sales process, I don't care if it's equipment or enzymes, it's a technical sale. And customers demand data. They're not just going to buy because they like you.
Some people say that, by the way.
Right? Yeah. You got to have something. Right? Exactly. So so we've got a pretty good thriving little practice on that end. And we do everything on the agronomic side from large plot strip trials to small plot trials. On the feed side, I prefer repeated measures, a type of a repeated measures experimental design.
Okay. As
you know, with the pelleting process, it has its challenges to have a statistically valid design. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's right.
And so I'm pretty happy with how we do that. And interestingly enough, I've been doing a little on my own in my spare time. I'll be submitting a paper to, it looks like, I think, Applied Engineering and Agriculture. On SAB. Liquid supplements.
Oh, great. Great.
There's no work in the public, in the scientific literature on suspensions.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I'll be submitting, I'm halfway through the draft. Okay. Since there's no really pre-existing work out there, the lit review is pretty easy. Okay. But I hope to be submitting that in August. Okay. And we'll see how it goes.
Great, great. And well, and for our audience, I know Jared is telling us a lot of great information. If you have any questions, please put it there in the comment section. We'll be very happy to send them to Jared later on to answer. So Jared, you know, I see here a little bit, you work in the agronomic and connected on the feed side. And then, of course, there's a quality regulatory all around that space, let's call it that way, which is, to be honest, I don't see that much going on. We either start the feed or we start or ends at the agronomy. There's no connection. So I'm a little bit curious if you could tell us how that all started. You know, what do you see? And then, you know, of course, also you're working in some of the grains that may not be as big as here we have here in the Midwest in a way of triticate and rye, you know, wheat, yes, but very interesting from my perspective.
Well, I think that, to be honest with you, Carlos, that what really kind of stimulated this direction is I realized, oh, time gets away from us, Carlos, right?
Yeah.
I realized 4 years ago that the two communities really don't talk. So let me ask you a question. Let's look at a farmer and a dairyman. When A farmer grows, say, trip for silage. How is the farmer paid?
Well, I mean, paid in terms of...
They're paid tonnage, and sometimes they're paid a protein basis, right? I mean, there's sometimes incentives.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, how does the dairy pay the farmer? On what basis do they pay?
Based on availability needs and market availability.
No. The dairy pays on a dry matter basis.
Okay. Yes. Yes, that's right.
The farmer sells on an as-fed basis.
Yeah, that's right.
So the two communities look at this totally different, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, one, you would say to yourself that you, is it the same money? Does the farmer realize that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's a really good question. So then here's the other thing is that when I grow these crops, what's the impact of shifting lignin production?
Well, we'll get a little bit more dry matter, I'm assuming.
Well, if I decrease the lignin in a crop, in a forage, that means that the fiber is far more digestible.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that a fair statement? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's extend it. What if I can change the starch matrix in the crop agronomically? That has an impact on the pellet mill, correct?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, right? I mean, you can go back to some of that work we did back in the late 90s, Carlos, where we looked at amylose and amylopectin, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As we increase the amylopectin content, guess what happens? It gets a little more difficult to run, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Because that starch granule likes to kind of soak up that...
That moisture.
That moisture. Whereas if I run just all amylose, well, you've run those pellet mills before. That's hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of how it has come about. And so that's really, I'd say, in the last few years, we've been bridging that gap. And like I said, so we'll be putting our first stuff out there at the dairy science meetings. And we're going to be continuing in this vein to continue to try and bridge this gap.
No, that's very, very important. And you know what? Working here in a university and being able to connect with both the agronomies and the animal sciences and the feed groups, I mean, you could kind of see that for sure, that there's just no talk. I mean, and very, very important. And for our audience, of course, please like us. Give us the famous thumbs up line for today's episode. So, very important. Going back to the conversation, Jared, I see that very important. And so you said a couple years taking you there. How does that now, talking about agronomic feed processing, and then you link that regulatory quality control work? So you said you have those three ways. How does that come together?
Okay, so my regulatory quality work, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, it was to keep food on the table, okay?
Okay, yeah.
As a consultant, right? You if you don't work, you don't eat.
Exactly.
That's how it works. So, but now I actually, I actually love to do this work.
Okay.
Because with the clients that I work with, they have zero idea what in the hell is going on with the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
So they have these food safety plans, and they may be adequate, probably aren't adequate. And then I'm kind of watching with some interest. I see that the FDA is getting far more aggressive. I thought with the politics that possibly we would see less inspections. It looks to me from what I see right now, the cadence has increased.
That's a good point. I was not aware of that. And that's a good perspective.
That's what I see. And so I think that their comment a couple of years ago that they fully intend to hit all the facilities in the United States in some certain time window, I think they're going to do it. The other comment that I see that has kind of caught me off guard is that some of the inspectors have been making comments to the point of, we really don't care about third-party certifications. What we care about is what we want.
I could see that. Yeah.
Fair statement, right?
Yeah.
So it's been a source of pride for me to work with these clients, and we strive to meet what the FDA wants. We really don't care about this third-party stuff. I have opinions on it, but I advise my clients, you don't need the third-party stuff. We do what the FDA wants because they're going to be the authority.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
You follow what they say, you're going to be doing third-party certification work. That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
So we take that approach. We're very intimate in our clients with that. We want to be immersed with them. We want to be a part of the whole process. If somebody comes to me and they just say, I need you to write me a food safety plan, there's plenty of other people to do that. That's not my interest.
Those are, you know, some people like them, some people don't. I particularly don't. I'm not my cup of tea, let's call it that way. But very important that there's something important to have, too.
Well, it fits in my nature. I mean, obviously, having a strong focus on applied research, doing this type of work fits into my nature because it is detail work, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, yeah, that's how it ties. And like I said, I've really enjoyed doing this. I've come to enjoy the regulatory work far more than I ever expected.
And of course, for our audience, please share the video if you learned something new today. I know there's a lot of information that Jared can share with us, but we have, of course, limited time, but we'll be more than happy to share any information. So Jared, will you talk about your consulting work, the three main areas, how they all come together, which is very important in the bridge. But tell us a little bit about your previous background, because I think it'll be interesting to know how that all got shaped into what you do now, especially for our young professionals are watching this as they make their career in the overall ag world, because at the end of the day, we're in the global world. So it's very important to understand how everything gets connected.
Yeah, I you know, I started out when I left graduate school. I studied under Keith and Joe Hancock, really enjoyed my time there. Leland was behind me, and God rest his soul.
Yeah.
And so, I started with Purina in their process research group, and that was an interesting time period because the guys at the folks at Purina, that was before the Land O'Lakes acquisition, and they were doing some really innovative stuff over there. Obviously, a lot of it I can't talk about, but you look at some of the products like their Nugget product, some of their more innovative liquid products. I mean, you know, the Purina Research Group, they did a lot of good work over the years. And then I had the opportunity to go with Roche, which became DSM, and I did various things there. I did sales, marketing, but I also got my first exposure on the technical side with work over in Turkey and over in Thailand.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, and so... my beloved Turkey, I love that country.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Well, people all over the world are beautiful. Okay.
Yeah. That's.
I mean, I've found a couple of things. I've been blessed to do work in 23 countries, Carlos. Okay. And, wow. I found a few general aphorisms. Number one, everybody really does truly want to do the right thing. They want to do the right thing. Okay. And second, I think all fathers love their children, right? We're all people at the end of the day. So I've been very blessed to see and experience cultures that a lot of people won't have that opportunity. I mean, two trips ago to the Philippines, I had the opportunity to eat, what was that? They called it chocolate soup.
Ah, yes, yes.
It's not for me. Not for me.
I tried to.
They tried to give me balut, and I said, you know, I'm going to pass on that one. So, but I like I said, I like all the different cultures. So You know, and then I went to the liquid feed industry for a while, and then I did my time with DSM on the plant management side, on the premix side. And I have to tell you, you know, over the years, I've made this comment that, generally speaking, of the quality systems that I've run into, DSM's is one of the best quality systems I've ever seen.
They do, yeah.
They do. They do. And they have done. Now, I don't know where they are today with the whole changes within their ownership structure. But historically, the DSM quality and safety systems were they were top of the industry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so I was so proud to learn so much from them. And then Elanco, I was blessed to do a lot of overseas work with Elanco. Really great companies. Really, absolutely great companies. And so, you know, Elanco exposed me. I mean, we did a lot of work in Asia and the Middle East. But I also got some exposure to Latin America. I've not done much work in Latin America. My perception of our friends in Latin America is they care far more about quality than the U.S.
Yes.
By far. They take pride in it. But I see the same trend in the Middle East, and I see the same trend in Asia too, right?
Especially Southeast Asia, you definitely see it. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think it's a space factor, Carlos. This has always been my opinion that their stocking density, let's say in a confined broiler operation, they have less room per square foot or however you want to measure it for chickens. So that mm-hmm. means they have to drive efficiency, yes. Right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So quality matters to them. Whereas in the U.S., you just shove them all into a 30,000 head house or flock house, and you're just going for average daily gain, correct?
And on the commercial side, also I will say that in Latin America, there's a lot of competition still from different type of family-owned co-ops, I mean, different type of economic models. So it's a tough market. So quality is one of those that you want to differentiate yourself. So
yeah, it matters, right? So so yeah, I've been kind of blessed in that end. And so, like I said, I probably will have an international engagement this year. So we're in the process of negotiating that one out. And but yeah, that's kind of what I do, Carlos.
It's time for our famous three.
Evonik Animal Nutrition is committed to ensure food security and safety while reducing the ecological footprint of animal farming. Its products and services use evidence-based solutions that seek to promote animal welfare and reduce reliance on natural resources. All this is underpinned by long-standing industry partnerships and deep customer understanding. Evonik's focus on efficiency, sustainable, healthy nutrition, and collaborations with livestock farming partners creates value for customers and consumers.
Great. No, I think it's a fantastic career, and I'm pretty sure we'll run into you more, and hopefully more podcasts as in the future on other topics that I think our audience will be great. And as we're coming to the end of our podcast, first, I'll tell our audience, please visit our website, wisenetics.com, and learn more about all the other podcast segments that we have besides the feed science one, like in poultry, swine, dairy, beef, and of course, pet food. So Jared, great career, good consulting work, bridging science with two different areas that are connected, but not necessarily happen all the time. And then also seeing regulatory control. Based on that, on those topics, what would be a good resource that you will recommend somebody kind of like want to learn a little bit more about all this? I know there's not one encyclopedia per se that have everything we have talked today, but some resources that we recommend, websites, books, articles that people to look into it, to learn more.
I would say today that if you wanted to develop yourself professionally on a technical side, I would invest in resources on looking for trends in data. We are in the data generation. Looking for trends is absolutely essential in your business. And I say that, how many of the folks listening sit down every quarter and analyze their customer complaint data? I mean, we get customer complaints, we don't like them, but what do they really consist of? Is there a story behind there, right? Do you know what months that you need to watch out for which mycotoxins? I can assure you that every mycotoxin has a little bit of a different footprint, especially when it shows up in a feed mill. That is the resource that I would dive into. Learn more about how you look at numbers, look how you extract trends. And I do see that some people don't spend enough time in that.
And I agree 100% that data science, engineering, data analysis is we're in a global world, and global data, big data is very important. So
it's very important.
And based on that, one last question for our young professionals or students graduating or coming to graduation. What would you recommend a young professional to set, besides this recommendation you just gave us, to set themselves apart to be successful?
I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. This is two podcasts ago. I think it was with Wilmer. Go sell something.
Okay. Very good.
Take a couple of years. Go become a salesperson. It's very easy for us to get caught behind a desk and we lose perspective of what it is that we're actually doing.
Yes.
And we can build walls around us. We don't want people to come in and bother our little space, but go out and sell.
Great advice. Yeah, very important. So for our audience, please listen to all this great advice. And with that, Jared, thank you very much for spending time today with us here in the podcast. I know we could continue talking, and I'm pretty sure more will come. With that, this concludes another episode of the Feed Science Podcast presented by Wisenetics. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated for future episodes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is very valuable for us. So, Jared, thank you very much. And any last words for the as a goodbye for the audience?
No, thank you, Carlos, for this opportunity. And I think on the next podcast, Carlos, maybe we'll pull some data up from a few studies and we'll start looking it over.
Fantastic. We'll take that and we'll be sure to schedule you. So with that, everybody, until next time, this is Carlos Campabadal from the Feed Science Podcast signing off. Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.